Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski questioned an Army official about sexual assaults involving minors on military bases. Citing a news report, Murkowski raised the issue during a Senate Defense Appropriations hearing Tuesday.
Investigators released a total of 8 cases at Alaska installations, 5 of them reportedly at Fort Wainwright. So, of course, this certainly gets your attention.
Senator Murkowski asked U.S. Army Secretary Mark Esper about how the Army handles youth-on-youth assaults. Esper says the Army conducts an initial investigation, but current protocol requires cases to be handed off to local, state, or federal authorities.
We have some authority, but it's mainly administrative. So what we can do is we could bar that kid from being on post, or we could remove the family from the post. But beyond that, the authorities really reside outside the military to do that, and I think that's something we need to take a look at.
Esper says the Army's current focus is providing victim and family support services. Firefighters and police responded to the Polaris building in downtown Fairbanks this morning after 2 men were spotted on the roof of the vacant high-rise. Fairbanks Police Lieutenant Gregory Foster says the men were intoxicated.
Yelling things from the top of the roof and not really sure what they were trying to do or say. When we arrived on scene, the 2 subjects tried to flee from the building, but were contained within the gated area around the base.
Lieutenant Foster says the men were apprehended as a city fire crew deployed a ladder bucket apparatus to reach the building's roof. Foster says the Polaris has long been targeted by trespassers, despite measures to keep people out. He says the men accessed the building through a window that plywood had been removed from.
They were able to scale a fence, get on top of a building, jump to another adjacent building, and then make their way into that elevated window that had the plywood removed.
Foster says there's no indication that the men had any intentions beyond getting to the roof of the 11-story Polaris, which is Fairbanks' tallest building. They were arrested and charged with criminal trespass. Another groundwater contamination hotspot has been found in the Fairbanks area, this time around South Davis Park. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation notified borough officials 10 days ago that test results have shown the presence of poly and perfluorinated compounds in groundwater under South Davis Park. DEC says the contaminants, referred to by their abbreviations as PFOA and PFOS, probably came from the use of firefighting foam at the city's regional fire training center. And Castle says it's now spread from there to the park.
Underneath our South Davis Park, where we have soccer fields and softball fields and a bunch of outdoor recreation facilities.
Castle says the Parks and Rec Department will no longer use wells that have been found to be contaminated with the chemical compounds, and he says borough officials are looking for other sources of water to irrigate the fields with.
We're looking at options of using water trucks, possibly trying to run long irrigation lines from city water systems outside of the park.
The mayor says, as far as can be determined, the playing fields are safe to use.
We're confident the facility is safe right now. We haven't irrigated since last summer, so I think with the rain we've had and the snow melt, et cetera, the ground is probably safe. We're fairly confident in that.
The water-soluble poly and perfluorinated compounds are considered emerging contaminants that have been linked to a number of health issues. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency has established health advisories that include, among other things, limits on the amount of lifetime exposure to the chemicals. But concerns over the health effects and calls for action to address the problem have grown in recent years, both nationwide and locally.
The borough has been asleep at the switch. The city tried to make some response, but was half-hearted.
Dave Berry lives just west of South Davis Park, and he's a member of a local group of homeowners and others who are worried about the health impacts of the chemicals.
They've known about these problems. They've refused to do anything about it for our neighborhood. For a long time.
The firefighting foam contaminants have been found in several areas down gradient from the fire training center. It's also been found in wells around Moose Creek, which is thought to have come from Eielson Air Force Base, also on Fort Wainwright, and in neighborhoods near Fairbanks International Airport. And Barry says it's time for local leaders to push for solutions to the problem.
The city should be joining with the borough and going after the real culprits, and that's the manufacturers of these chemicals and get some help from our senators and have something done about it.
Castle says local officials have responded. The city has provided alternative sources of drinking water for people who live in areas affected by the contamination. And the mayor says right now the borough is focused on the problem at the park, where numerous sports teams play throughout the summer.
Our children can't be without recreational activities out there. That's far too important of a facility for us. We have literally thousands of soccer players and hundreds of softball players that are affected by this.
Castle says local officials expect to have the results of more tests on groundwater under the park in a couple of weeks. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly approved a measure last night that will enable nonprofit organizations around the borough to get funding from the state. An assembly resolution certifies 17 nonprofits in the borough's unincorporated communities that are now eligible to receive money through the state community assistance program.
Yeah, like the Esther Fire Department, the Esther Community Association, you know, out in Salcha, we have the Salcha Fair Association, Salcha Fire and Rescue.
Borough Mayor Chief of Staff Jim Williams says the payments this year will range from about $5,000 to $15,000, depending on the number of nonprofits in the communities.
I mean, they're not earth-shattering amounts of money, you know, but, you know, every little bit helps for these nonprofits.
Williams says state law sets the amount of funding for unincorporated communities at about $15,800 each. He says that amount is split between all the nonprofits in that community. Salcha and Esther both have three qualifying nonprofits, so they'll each get about $5,000.
Like Moose Creek has North Star Volunteer Fire Department, they'll get the full $15,789 because they're the only nonprofit in that unincorporated community.
Williams says the legislature bumped up funding this year for the statewide program, which was formerly known as state revenue sharing, from $30 million last year to $34 million this year. He says the borough will be getting about $1.5 million, down from $2 million last year.
It's down from last year, but it's more than we were expecting.
He says the borough's two incorporated cities, Fairbanks and North Pole, also will be getting community assistance program funding. Alaska Native languages are the focus of a four-day institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks next week. The Alaska Native Language Revitalization Institute is hosted by the UAF College of Rural and Community Development. College Director of Indigenous Programs Sandra Kowalski says the conference reflects an urgency to preserve Alaska's diversity of native languages.
Recently, the legislature passed a resolution declaring that our Alaska Native languages are in a state of emergency. In addition to that, just in recent years, we've seen an increased interest by young people to become second language speakers.
Kowalski emphasizes that loss of native languages has been an issue for a long time.
Had, you know, elders passing away, and just the whole context of having a Western education system and a Western culture kind of inset in our rural and Alaska Native communities has made it challenging for Alaska Native languages to thrive and be maintained.
Kowalski says the institute will focus on 10 of Alaska's 20 native languages, including 5 from the interior region. She says participants will explore strategies for learning and teaching language from Alaska and outside experts.
From Hawaii, where they've got strong revitalization efforts underway, and from some experts with the Mohawk language, they've been able to produce proficient second language Mohawk speakers.
Kowalski notes that UAF's Alaska Native Language Center has documented the state's indigenous languages, a valuable baseline of information. Kowalski stresses that the institute is also about empowering people.
There's this sense that that we have to ask and be given permission to be who we are, and there's a process we need to bring our communities through to take back our right to speak and promote and teach our own indigenous languages.
Kowalski says the response has been strong and that registration is full, with over 150 people signed up for the May 21 to 24 Institute. I'm Dan Bross.